You're listening to Legends of the Dark Knight, only on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Trouble is brewing in Metropolis. Where's the Joker?
You've got a front row seat for the story of the century.
The death of Superman.
Lex Luthor's looking to rub out Superman.
Do I have a deal for you?
I'm listening. So he's hired someone with experience. Now, only one person can protect the Man of Steel.
The Joker has 20 pounds more where this came from. Thought you might like to know.
But he's a little scary.
What do you want?
Information. Omni presents two of the greatest superheroes of all time. Together.
Stay back.
Did I miss anything?
Batman. Superman. A special one-hour thing.
You're learning.
World's finest.
Hello and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this adventure into Gotham City and Metropolis is...
Dave, Joe, and Mike, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
That's good.
Yes, we are back for episode 25, covering World's Finest.
AKA the Batman Superman movie, that's right. So since the last episode, episode 24, we had a new review on iTunes. I'm just going to get this out of the way right now because I'm going to have to get up in my soapbox. I'm not mad or anything, it's just apparently I have to explain some stuff. It comes from Foxhound 13, left on October 29th, 2013. You only get an okay because of your guests, 3-star review. Having some of the voice cast is great, which is unfortunately the biggest reason this gets stars, plus sound quality and production. However, I'm not a fan of the reviews, at least the opinions from Mike. The thoughts aren't well detailed in information from Wikipedia and IMDb. Okay, let me stop right there. I guess technically DCAU.wikia.com is a Wikipedia, but I have never, unless the DCAU wiki has not had the information, I've never used Wikipedia.org for Legends. And I've never used IMDb because I know most of this stuff already. He goes on to say, which is fine, I'm sure not a whole lot of people know it, but what are your thoughts on the animation, the score, the history, maybe that they are basing off the episodes and such? I don't know. Your opinions, yes, but it just bores me. Still, I subscribe because, good Lord, I don't know how you get these guys to be interviewed, but they are entertaining, and I really enjoyed what I hear from those. Okay. I have said before that I love the score to Batman the Animated Series. You know, there's just certain times when we're reviewing them that because I'm not watching the episode, and even though I've taken notes about the music and the animation and stuff like that, I'm trying not to completely nitpick BTAS, you know, as much as I would do other shows. Yes, there are bad episodes in it. Yes, there are episodes I don't like. But honestly, when it comes to the music, there is not a single track from Batman the Animated Series. I have 6 discs of the soundtrack from La La Land Records. There was a 4-disc release for Volume 2 and a 2-disc release for Volume 1 of the soundtrack. I listen to that stuff all the time. I love the BTAS soundtrack and music. As far as the animation, there's not much to pick at the animation. Sure, there are a couple of things wrong with it, but it's more so my problems with the show are some of the plots, like what was that episode? Moon of the Wolf, or Olympus Has Fallen, or Olympus Fire on Olympus, or whatever that was. You know, it's more so that I have a problem with the plot, so maybe I'm not getting that across clearly enough. I will revise my strategy when we get to Batman Beyond next year, and I will make sure I am way more clearer on that. But thank you for the review. We appreciate any and all reviews for any of the Geekcast Radio Network podcasts. Anything you want to say before I get into the world's finest info?
Well, I
I'm glad that you commented. I don't quite agree with the 3 stars, but and again, we thank you for the sound quality and the production and the guests, which those have been great when we get them. It may come off sometimes a little raw because we get our trivia, yes, from some of the DCAU wiki. It's not like standard Wikipedia, which is anybody can edit kind of thing. It's not, and it's not canon to that specific subject. Or the Wikipedia isn't, the DCAU wiki is, and IMDb, I don't use it at all for that. So that's why we cross-reference through things. Sometimes it goes a little quick, which, again, we'll revise that in the future. But yeah, we've tried to talk about some of the animation. Like, there are points where we'll bring up some coloration issues and some other things which come up in our trivia and errors section when we're doing through that area of the podcast. So we do try and cover that. The score, we try and incorporate something from it at some point throughout the episode, whether it be in the intros to each clip or like I try to do the title card until they got rid of the title cards.
Yeah, he wants our opinions of the music.
Yeah, I mean, but it's kind of hard to nitpick on the score itself because they're all
great. It's all so great.
I personally had them on a MP3 disc in my car, and I would just listen to them because I enjoy them so much.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes for Beyond. I mean, we'll get into that later on, too, when we get into that area of the podcast. But I guess we'll try and cover that a little bit better on an episode-to-episode basis. But, yeah. And maybe we're looking at some of the episodes with rose-colored glasses and some of them a little too harsh. But we do try and at least give some notice to them, even if they are terrible episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
But yeah, we'll hopefully have some more interviews next year, and the podcast will take a slightly different turn when we go beyond the legends.
Yes, that is true. All right, so World's Finest, aka the Batman Superman movie. It did appear on the GCRN Top 100 Animated Films Countdown. I'm not going to say where, honestly, because I don't remember where.
Say it if you want to come back to me.
Yeah. It did appear. We did have a very brief discussion on it, but I want to correct a couple of things, and I hope that Movie Revolt Dan is listening to this part of the podcast here, and I will link him to this, so we can kind of correct this. Yes, as of right now, when it airs on the Hub and on the Superman the Animated Series DVD set, World's Finest is a 3-parter episode. However, when it originally aired back in 1997, it aired back to back to back as a movie event on October 4th, 1997. So it was kind of done as an animated film versus 3 episodes of a cartoon series. Hence why it was later released as a VHS and DVD as the Batman Superman movie without the previously on or the end credits to Superman the Animated Series.
Ready for that number?
Yeah.
It is, and I made a master document as we go along so that I can have the list prior to the final release. That way I just can copy-paste and dump it in the post. But
yeah,
it is number 93.
Okay, let's just move on from that.
Should I mention another one?
No.
It's not released yet, so no. I'll wait till next time.
No, it hasn't been released yet, so no. Yeah, that number 25 doesn't get...
It doesn't get nearly enough love. It needs to be in the top 10. I'm sorry. Maybe even 10.
As far as some continuity bits before we get into the commentary, Wayne Enterprises' brief partnership with LexCorp is later found in the episode Nighttime to have allowed Brainiac to infect Wayne's computers after having done so in LexCorp's installed memories. You can also see Ghost in the Machine for more on that continuity. Joker's next appearance after this is in the new Batman Adventures Joker's Millions. His survival of the LexWing crash is left unexplained, but his money problems and encounter with Bruce Wayne in the restaurant are referenced in said episode. The long-term effect of kryptonite radiation on humans is further explored in Justice League episode Injustice for All, when Luther is diagnosed with an incurable form of blood cancer as a result of carrying kryptonite around with him for years. Lois and Bruce have a brief reunion in The Demon Reborn, where Lois reveals to Bruce she was having second thoughts about her relationship with him, and there were several times that she had almost picked up the phone. Unfortunately, she was talking to herself because, as usual, Batman had already disappeared. Superman claims he heard Batman was crazy in The Last Son of Krypton. Martha Kent previously referred to Batman as that nut in Gotham City. See, this is why I know you're not that big of a Superman fan, but seriously, this is why you need to go back and watch some of the Batman-centric type episodes for Superman the Animated Series, because they're so awesome. Some trivia. The Joker offers Lois a scoop he calls the Death of Superman. This is obviously the major storyline in comics about Superman's supposed death at the hands of Doomsday. When Lex Luthor tells the Joker that he can't be connected to Superman's death, he responds, "Oh, you'll be Mr. Clean." Everybody knows who Mr. Clean is, right?
Yep.
On the Batman Brave and the Bold episode, Super Batman of Planet X, Kevin Conroy, Dana Delaney, and Clancy Brown all voice Zur-En-Arr counterparts of their characters here. The Batman of Zur-En-Arr, Vissi Valor, a reporter, and Roll Tool, Luthor spelled backwards. It's kind of like he's sagging all over the place. Oh, God. See what you've started?
Damn it, man.
Now, this is interesting here. This is something I did not even know. Tim Daly narrowly beat Kevin Conroy for the role of Joe Hackett in the TV series Wings before Conroy was cast in Batman the Animated Series. This is the first time that Daly and Conroy have worked together since then. Have you ever seen Wings?
No.
Okay, so you've never seen it?
I may have seen one or two here or there.
Okay. It basically has Tim Daly, Steven Weber, Crystal Bernard, Monk, what's his name? Tony Shalhoub, Sandman from Spider-Man 3, Thomas Hayden Church. All those characters. And it's a really cool show about this small airline in Nantucket, Massachusetts. And I used to watch this show as a kid, and this piece of trivia that Tim Daly narrowly beat out, I cannot imagine Kevin Conroy as Joe Hackett. I just can't. It's just not possible. Let's see. Batman's confrontation with Lex Luthor in Batman number 573 strongly resembles their first face-to-mask meeting in Part 2, in that Lex wakes up frightened by the fright mask in front of him and realizes that Batman will have to be dealt with and tells Mercy to contact Bane, who was working for them at the time in the comic. However, Batman renders Mercy unconscious before waking Lex and tells Luthor that she shouldn't bother attacking him from behind. Obviously, the Joker's line about Superman being more powerful than a locomotive is taken from the Fleischer cartoons of the 1940s. Oh, boy. What do the Joker, Lex Luthor, Corinthian leather and con have in common, Steve?
Entirely too much.
Joker comments Lex's limo has rich Corinthian leather, a reference to Ricardo Montalban's 1975 commercial for the Chrysler Cordoba.
That's just bad comedy.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, all right, this is the last bit of trivia. Bruce asking Lois if there's some special signal to call Superman, and her responding that he's not like Batman is entirely a reference to the Bat Signal, which is actually imitated by Luminous in Solar Power to signal Superman. Superman's signature signaling device appears later in Superman's Pal when he gives a signal watch to Jimmy Olsen. All right, folks, that's enough of us reading stuff off the internet. We are going to get to the commentary after this. When you hear the Joker laugh, sync up your DVD, computer, whichever you choose to watch this on. We'll be back in a moment.
What's so funny?
Warner Brothers logo.
Bugs Bunny. Batman Superman movie. Hurry up! Look at what I'm selling you, plots.
Bong.
Psst. See, I told you there would be another time where Joker would have an overcoat like what he had in Mask of the Phantasm. And it's this right here, this purple overcoat.
It's the last time he ever wears it.
Yeah. I really disrespect Glenn Murakami for doing what he did to the Joker, or what he had them do to the Joker, because he's like, oh, well, it'll be more streamlined, or it'll be more simplification to the character. It was his suggestion that they remove the red lips. And Bruce Timm later said, oh, that was a mistake.
I liked it better when it was an Return of the Joker look, because they mixed the original look with the new look.
Yeah.
I don't like Commissioner Gordon, though. He looks too scrawny.
Yeah, he does in this.
But maybe they did that on purpose to make him look older.
Well, that is part of his new look that started in the New Adventures, so...
I like how they did the blurred camera effect for everything.
No, that's so awesome.
I love that. You want to stop him? Be my guest.
Now see, folks, this is how Batman is a detective.
He doesn't just wear hockey pads and punch stuff.
The sad thing is, this entire scene is pretty much, outside of the stuff with Alfred, is pretty much lifted for The Dark Knight. Because this analytic stuff that he's doing is what Bruce was doing in Dark Knight with the guns. Firing the guns, trying to figure out the bullet pattern.
Yeah.
God, I love Lois. At least this version of her.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen of the press, stay calm. You may actually live to write about this.
It looked like Bill Clinton.
The one Superman always saves.
She says, afraid so.
Yeah.
Boom. Upside down plane. She's such a smart ass.
That's what I love about her.
And then her voice that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Boom! Lights out. It's not the first president he's helped. Dark Knight Returns. And partial fly. Look at that timing.
Yeah, I know.
It's the First National Bank.
You better go. People might get hurt.
I love this part coming up.
I understand. Really, you do. Yep, you're a complete moron. Thank you, Superman. I hate him.
Poor Lois.
She gets screwed.
Hey, look, it's Nextel before Nextel was Nextel. I love Clancy Brown as Luthor.
The best Luthor.
Yes. I don't know who's worse, Harley driving in this or me driving in Grand Theft Auto 4.
Probably you. Now she's definitely worse.
Yeah, I was gonna say no, definitely Harley's worse.
It's like she's playing Mario Kart trying to hit everything.
Yep.
Thank you. There's nothing near about that mortal. It's so great.
You'll be Mr. Clean.
I much prefer Bruce's slimmed down look.
Yeah, I have to agree. I like this new look. Yeah, that wasn't played out.
Yeah, this is Clark Kent, a nobody. Did you notice the bandage on Mercy's head?
Yep.
It's on the wrong side.
Well, her head hit the pavement on the other side.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah.
She had a knockout punch.
Get out more.
I wonder where Nolan got this from.
Like a sleepover.
Boingy, boingy, boingy.
Harley's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You look a little gassy.
Yeah, that scene's definitely pulled.
Part of it, yeah.
And that's how he can... That's how he, can control Lex Luthor. With money. Men in tights. Robin Hood, men in tights.
Men, manly men.
We're men in tights, tights. Sounds like Lobo.
It is. It's Brad Garrett.
I thought it was.
Yeah. God, I love that. I don't care if he does like getting glass in his shorts. I still love that scene.
Making haha with Harley Quinn. That's great. That's so great.
Look at Superman. Oh, look at the look on Superman's face. He didn't realize that Batman could throw that like that. Ooh. Now, he says that loud enough for anyone else that's still in the room to hear it.
Take that,
bitch.
Take that too.
Would I? I'll let you go if you can count sheep.
That's so priceless.
Mm-hmm.
It's like touche. Smiled and waved. Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
And he actually does say it, too. I often wondered if Batman actually gave him the finger there.
That's what she said. Oh, wait, she did.
What I love about that scene between the two of them is how Kevin goes from Bruce to Batman back to Bruce.
Oh, I know. That was so great.
Yeah. Dance, Bruce, dance!
Street pizza.
It's an awfully long way to fall. I don't know if it's the fact of Superman's in costume or Bruce was, you know, not in costume, but you can really tell the physical difference between the two of them in that last shot.
Yep.
Of the story of the century, my dear. Why does Bruce Wayne need a plane that big? To hold the Batwing.
I don't like this design, though.
He's got a million of them.
Yeah.
Superman in a super suit.
Super lead suit.
That's hilarious. Soupy.
It's nice for Superman to create entrances for Batman.
Yep. Joker just dances around his body.
Yep.
Like a crazy drunkard.
Tell me, have you ever danced with a Superman in the pale moonlight? Get out. Get out.
Feel free to expire anytime. You know why nobody can ever shoot Batman?
He's too fast.
He strafes side to side.
Yeah.
They shoot in one direction. Yeah, that's an Arkham move. That should be the new bat suit.
I wish it would be.
And Batman's a chemist, so...
Well, I would argue he's a detective, and he's mindful of his surroundings.
Yeah. He calls him Soupy. That's why Batman and Joker know each other way too well.
Yep. And like an old married couple that want to kill each other. What could this be? Skyhook! My only complaint about the Batwing passing by the moon like that is I wish it would have passed by flat so you'd see the bat against the moon better.
But it wouldn't be the same bat, so.
I know it wouldn't be the same thing, but it would be a cool homage. Little Miss can't take a joke. The best part about this scene isn't what Lex and Joker are talking about. It's what Mercy and Harley are doing in the background. Bonsai!
And their clothes is all battered.
Yeah. Red, turquoise, and purple are the three colors for Lois's blouses in this. The animation in this is so good. Lex Luthor shaves his pits. It's a bedroom scene. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
Black eye.
goons outside. Mr. Luthor, Mr. Luthor. I sound just like Otis from
And the Superman music comes in.
Yep. Your costume freshly laundered, sir. I'm glad they named the ship the SS Atlantis and not the SS Titanic. I love the silver bat emblem.
And shove it inside. Plug the hole.
Let the seed spread.
Hey, it's the Atlantis.
Yeah.
Isn't that buried under the sea?
No, it's Titanic.
I know, but the Lost Empire?
Oh, the Lost City of Atlantis. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Who wants to see that? You know, that's something I notice about Batman is he leaves his grapples places. Didn't we already figure out that there's a way to track Batman by the equipment in the Batmobile? If he leaves his bat grapples all over the place, I'm sure there's a way to track those, too.
I would think so.
I love how they do the shadows on him.
Why the hell are Tarantulas' drones in here?
Yeah, really. They're a little too big to be tarantulas as drones. Never around when you need him.
No capes!
No capes, no cowls, no glory! They never print anything good these days.
Squeesh.
You know, if Clark Kent ever was Batman, that would be one hell of a relationship for Lois. Because he does say that she does like Bruce Wayne and Superman as the other two guys she's not crazy about.
Poof.
I don't suppose a stern lecture on unnecessary risk taking is right.
Sorry.
I didn't think so. Just me.
Look at all the toys. Santa's cooking this.
I love that.
Yeah, Santa's been good to you, Lex.
A flying wing! 20 times bigger than Batman!
they would use that design later for Justice League Savage Time. The flying wings and that.
Funny, they just spray painted.
Yeah. That would never work either.
It's too much paint and not enough time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been the cue to start shooting him down. You sounded like a monkey there.
It's kind of like that Villains Month one shot.
Yeah.
Okay, what is Batman doing this whole time?
Yeah, he can just jump that high. the Lex Wing.
Is that the other piece? Yeah, it was.
Just press them all.
Yeah, where's the big red button when you really need it? He really needs to trim those nails.
You get that idea from Catwoman.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the other piece of the dragon. I was right. Nah. Be the robot's downfall right there. Because you can't get kryptonite poisoning through lead.
And it shatters. Into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not the ocean, but a crevice, but same thing. Into water.
It had water at the bottom of it. It got coyoted. Wait, where did he keep that? No, seriously. Where did he... Because I thought it was going to be his cape that turned into a chute, not an additional chute from his cape. Man, that's a bad set of teeth.
The Joker's bombs all went off.
It's funny, bro.
I've never caught that joke.
So bad.
That was great. Oh, that was terrible, but it was funnier than hell.
And that's it, folks. We'll be back after this with final thoughts, some other stuff, and the closing of the show.
Clyde. Sorry, miss. We're closed.
Just look at what I'm selling. Your plots.
Good work, Harley girl. Now, what would be a suitable trade for our joke in the box? For some reason, this just speaks to me. What do you think, Harl?
It's you, Puddin'.
Awfully nice doing business with you. Tar! What a pleasant fellow. Brave new world that has such putzes in it.
The Pull Bag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, your host, TF2 and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pull Bag, you'll also find back-issue classics and origins episodes of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pull Bag every Wednesday on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pull Bag today.
Oh, yes. But think of the fun.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian has superhero antics and sexy girls. Catch updates weekly at DeCian.com and NoSuperPants.com.
Ladies and gentlemen of the press, if you stay calm, you may actually live to write about this. Is the president secured?
Copy. We've already informed him
of our change in flight plans.
Let's make an example of this hero. A very tragic example, I'm afraid, Miss...
Lane.
Lane? Lois Lane? The one Superman always saves?
Afraid so.
I hope I didn't shake you and the others up too badly.
I hate to say, I've gotten used to it. Oh, Superman.
Yes?
How can I put this? I was just thinking it might be nice to see each other when I wasn't, I don't know, falling out a window or something. Not that I'm not grateful for all the times you've helped me, you understand?
I understand.
You do?
It's the First National Bank.
You better go. People might get hurt. I understand, Lois. Really, you do. Yep, you're a complete moron. Why, thank you, Superman. I think I'm a total loser, too. Jeez.
Behold, Tooncast Beyond. What better way to follow up the GCRN's most popular podcast than to take it beyond? If you listen to Tooncast Classic, Toon Beyond takes it to the next level. We are covering cartoons in seasons. Join TFG1 Mike, Steve Megatron, and a bunch of other hosts as we cover all kinds of cartoons from 2000 to whenever now is. You can find Tooncast Beyond in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in.
50 years ago, a little old man brought his little blue box to a junkyard, and now, Doctor Who is a cultural phenomenon worldwide. Join the Geekcast Radio Network and Mark Who 42's Whoniverse as we review Doctor Who episodes past and present, discuss the Doctor's friends and enemies, see where the Doctor's been, where he is, and where he's going. Sit back and grab a jelly baby and join Mark Who 42's Whoniverse. It's the ride of this and every other lifetime.
Fantastic.
Allons-y.
The office now.
Swell, Mr. L.
Mr. L? Mercy?
Oh, yeah, she had a little accident.
All right, Missy. I don't know what your game is, but I promise you, you'll pay dearly for this. You're dead, do you hear me?
Blah, blah, blah. Whoa, Mama, check out the cute hitchhiker.
Joker.
Lexi, old kid, do I have a deal for you?
Well, there you have it, folks. Okay, so, overall thoughts on World's Finest, sir?
Despite what it ranked in the top 100, I still really love it. It's entertaining. Yeah, there's not a lot of character development or anything because it's based off of a lot of previous continuity. But it also signifies the meeting of Batman and Superman, as well as finding out their secret identities and the first villain team up outside of Justice League. And so it's laying the ground bridge anyway towards that future partnership. But it's super. Super fun to watch. A lot of good lines, a lot of good action sequences, and just overall really enjoyable.
Yeah, it is. Is it a Mask of the Phantasm? No. But it's not meant to be. It's meant to be something maybe two or three notches under Mask of the Phantasm, because, as you said, it is the first meeting of the heroes, and you couldn't have that first meeting without the conflict that the first meeting of the villains had, you know, it introduces. I still love this movie. I still consider it a film more so than three episodes of Superman the Animated Series. So, yeah, overall, really, really, really enjoyed it. I'm trying to think if there was another trivia bit I wanted to impart on you guys. I don't think so. There was... Um, No, I don't think there's anything else as far as the continuity and all that. There was something that we are going to be bringing up, which is, since this is the first meeting of Batman and Superman in the DC Animated Universe with World's Finest, as of this recording, November 18th, 2013, when Batman met Superman, their 10 best first meetings. This is from Newsarama.com. It will be linked in the post as well. Number 10, the mightiest team on Earth. The true first meeting between the Man of Steel and Dark Knight came surprisingly late in the careers of both heroes in 1952's Superman number 76, when both Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne found themselves trapped not only on the same cruise liner, but the same cabin, thanks to some admittedly ridiculous plot shenanigans. It was only a matter of time before they each learned the other's secret identities and teamed up to fight crime together. Number 9. The origin of the Superman-Batman team. Told in flashback during 1958's World's Finest number 94, it turned out that Batman and Superman had actually met before their cruise ship collision, when the dynamic duo offered kryptonite assistance to Superman. Quite why there was a retcon version of the character's first meeting just 6 years after the first story isn't entirely clear. Of course, with the turnover of readers back then, it's possible no one really remembered that first story at the time. Number 8. World's Finest. Of course, DC's animated continuity had an entirely different take on the first meeting of the two heroes, which managed to synthesize and complex dynamic the two characters had enjoyed up until that time. The multi-episode World's Finest arc of Superman gave us a Superman and Batman who understood that they have to work together, even if they don't necessarily like each other, which, thanks to Bruce Wayne's interest in Lois Lane, it turns out they don't. If the movie has to follow one particular version of history between these two characters, this might be the best choice to go for. There is a contrast of optimism and pessimism in the two characters, but they are able to put aside their differences in the relatively fast and painless manner to get the job done. Of course, that might not make for the best cinematic option. Alright, number 7. One Night in Gotham. By the time the post-crisis Superman and Batman got around to meeting for the first time in 1986's Man of Steel number 3, relationships between the two had soured considerably. Writer-artist John Byrne brought the traditional Marvel dynamic of misunderstanding-conflict team-up to DC, ensuring that Superman had not only tried to arrest Batman, but leave ultimately still a little suspicious of him, despite the two having brought Magpie to justice together. Number 6. 1939, The Vigilantes. Retconned into the 1999 Elseworlds series, Generations was this brand new version of a meeting of the original Batman and Superman, again envisioned by John Byrne. This time around, it was the Ultra Humanite, a classic Golden Age villain who didn't actually come face to face with Batman during the real Golden Age, but debuted as a Superman villain in the real 1939. That brought the two together, with the two heroes finding themselves investigating different aspects of the same case before coming together to defeat the bad guy. Number 5. The Batman-Superman story. For the 2007 fifth season of the animated series The Batman, producers took the characters further out into the DC universe than adventure previously, starting with the two-part episode that came up and the best reason for Batman to fight with Superman during their first go-around. The latter hero was mind-controlled by Lex Luthor thanks to Poison Ivy's mind-control gas. Presuming that we're not going to get a Luthor-Joker bad guy lineup in the movie for the Cavill-Affleck pairing to have to deal with, having Lex use technology that belongs to some Bat-villains that the mainstream audience is already familiar with could be a smart route to go down. After seeing how much trouble Zod was in Man of Steel, what could be scarier than a fictional world seeing their paranoia about Superman turn out apparently to be well-founded?
which I believe, yes, Tim Daly did reprise Superman for that episode. Number four, When Clark Met Bruce. And then there was a time when the two characters didn't meet for the first time in this short by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. A young Bruce Wayne passed through Smallville, found himself in the presence of Clark Kent. Although as the two were kids, neither even vaguely aware of what lay ahead of them, neither one was really aware of how important the other would end up becoming in their life in the future. That's interesting. I might want to read that someday. Number three, Justice League, Part 1. 2012's New 52 makeover brought about yet another chance for our heroes to meet. For the first time, and this time around, there was a brand new twist. The two heroes had company during their first meeting. Specifically, Green Lantern was along for the ride with his brand of act first, think later decision makings, drastically changing the way things went, especially when combined with a Superman who was himself more likely to punch first and ask questions later, and even then his question was, "So, what can you do?" Number two, Detective. When Bruce Wayne finally showed up in Smallville continuity, it was something that fans had been waiting some time, like the entire length of the show's run on television and then some. Thankfully, they seemed more than satisfied with what writer Brian Q. Miller and artist Chris Cross, came up with for the 2012 arc of Smallville Season 11, with Bruce matching Clark in terms of inner angst and surpassing him when it came to anger. Now, this is something interesting. I am one of the people that Smallville ended at its final episode in Season 10. I have never read the Season 11 comic. I, at this point in time, have no interest in reading the Season 11 comic because the show ended. The story ended in my mind. But just because this is Batman, I might track this down. And the number one, When Batman Met Superman, was less than 2 years after the new Superman-Batman meet for the first time in Justice League number one. They did it again in Batman Superman number one. Blame the fact that they didn't remember this earlier meeting for reasons that are still unrevealed, and writer Greg Pak in his mysterious ways. In terms of first meetings, though, this one is weird. Clark and Bruce certainly have a first meeting that's worth remembering, and one that nearly summarizes the world views. But when it comes to getting their costumed alter egos together, all manner of parallel world hell breaks loose, bringing together alternate versions of the characters to complicate matters. Of course, with Jai Li art, everything managed to look exquisite no matter what manner of craziness was actually unfolding on the page. I do not agree that this is the best meeting of them. I still agree World's Finest is the best meeting of them as far as, like, number one overall. I'm sorry, I don't like Batman Superman. I read the first 2.5 issues, and I just, as much as a fan I am of the New 52, I don't like this cross-world thing at all. Yeah. So there you have it, folks. That is Legends of the Dark Knight, episode 25. Coming up next, I don't know how I'm going to be able to sit through this. There's probably going to be a lot of cursing from me. There's probably going to be a lot more me talking than actually sitting back and watching the damn thing, because it's just so infuriating how bad the plot is for the mystery of the Batwoman. So, Steve, you're going to have to play Joker's advocate over there, because, yeah, I'm probably going to go on a tangent and rant and everything else.
Yeah, I plan to.
Movie sucks. Any other final thoughts?
Nope.
All right. You can close the show out, Joker.
Thank you for joining us for Legends of the Dark Knight. If you'd like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. You can visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow us on Twitter at LOTDarkKnight. My Twitter name is SCP21. What is your Twitter name?
TF2 and Mike.
Join us next time when we do the commentary for Batman Mystery of the Batwoman. Yay. Mm. So for now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with
TF2 and Mike.
Singing the immortal words of Batman, I am vengeance, I am the night, I am Batman.
Bad luck that wears a cape. Thanks to that miserable, pointy-eared rodent Batman, all my operations in Gotham City have been shut down. But you, too, have an overgrown bully in long underwear. Which brings me to my little proposition.
I'm listening.
Pay me $1 billion and I'll kill Superman.
What makes you think you can kill Superman when you can't even handle a mere mortal in a Halloween costume?
There's nothing mere about that mortal.
Where's the Joker?
Who knows? Making ha-ha with Harley Quinn. I don't know, honest! I never went back after he muscled in. I don't want nothing to do with that clown.
That's enough. I think you got your answer. I heard you were crazy. I didn't think you were stupid. Bruce Wayne. You peaked. Hello?
Hi. I just wanted to let you know I'll be in late tomorrow. I'm having breakfast with Bruce.
Isn't that special?
Do I detect a note of disapproval?
You were the one who compared him to garbage.
Well, I was wrong.
He's very thoughtful, and much deeper than the gossip mongers would lead you to believe. You'd be surprised.
Would I now?
I'll let you go so you can count sheep or whatever you Kansas boys dream about. Bye.
Yeah.